over the last couple of months. And I said, well, we're going to back off of that for a while. I thought we'd covered the map when it came to that entity. But I read something in the Atlantic magazine the other night where there's a little bit of concern over ISIS and the Mediterranean, that if they establish some kind of beach, that they could attack ships, not with other ships or not with planes, but very much like the Somali pirates, where they go out and put a rocket into a cruise ship or disrupt cargo. So we're going to talk to some defense experts at 12 noon, try to figure out if that's just an interesting story with a thought that needs to be fleshed out, or whether or not it's a true potential problem right now. 11 o'clock, we'll talk to a number of experts about Social Security's disability program. Oh, good grief. I think it was a couple of years ago, one of the major media organizations, I think it was Time Magazine, did a real in-depth study, Social Security disability, and showed that it is beyond broken. And everything I'm looking up right now, and again, our experts at 11 o'clock will tell us whether I'm right, says we got $150 billion deficit, and the thing becomes the disability Social Security program will become insolvent early next year. So we'll get details on that. This hour, everybody's talking about Homeland Security. As usual, battle between the Senate and the House, Democrats and Republicans, over whether or not this Friday Homeland Security's financing should not be passed. And as always, we're going to talk to the experts. We have Matt Meyer with us, COO Liberty Foundation. Matt, welcome to the show. I appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell me the latest. I was looking at it this morning. Looks like there's at least a cursory proposal that might avoid all this. Tell me the latest.
Well, you know, so some of the Republicans in the House and Senate are trying to use the DHS funding bill to block President Obama's executive orders on immigration. And so you've had that back and forth. Their funding ends here in a couple of days. And what it looks like is Mitch McConnell recently agreed to essentially pass a DHS funding bill that was clean of any type of interference on the immigration order stuff. And so that's kind of where we are now.
And do you see any reason why the Republicans would do that? What's the benefit of them backing off of it?
Well, I think the benefit of backing off is if the public perception is they're engaging in essentially a mini shutdown that could harm the security of the country if DHS isn't kind of doing its job. And I think that, you know, some polling data seems to indicate that the Republicans would be blamed if that were to occur. So there's always the risk that, you know, you go to a shutdown and then, God forbid, something happens. And, you know, that would be an easy scapegoat to say it's because the Republicans, you know, shut us down and made us vulnerable kind of thing.
When I hear the word shutdown, is it really a shutdown? Everything I read says 85% of DHS employees would go to work. They wouldn't get paid, but they're required to go to work. Is that wrong?
No, it's exactly right. So the issue is because of there are certain core functions that just don't get impacted by any type of funding problem, they would still have to go to work. And even the ones that didn't show up to work would still get paid after being furloughed for whatever period of time they'd get the back pay. So we're not going to save any money here in any way whatsoever. So, you know, it just becomes, an exertion of raw power with the House and the Senate trying to kind of beat back the expanded use of executive power to do stuff that can't get through Congress. And that's a good fight to have. I'm just not sure it's a smart fight to have on the funding bill.
So it's more a battle over President Obama using executive power when it comes to immigration, when they say it should be a congressional power, very little to do with Homeland Security other than a wedge?
Yep. It has nothing really to do with the Homeland Security other than the fact that it's a convenient vehicle right now to try to, you know, assert themselves into this executive order battle on immigration. And yes, some immigration elements are in the Department of Homeland Security, but it's kind of a blunt instrument, it's not a scalpel, so to speak.
Well, with all that said, I still want to steal 10 more minutes of your time, so stay with me. Take a break. When we come back, I'll ask, let's say they don't fund it come Friday, nobody's getting paid. How about Border Patrol? How about FEMA? How about Secret Service? How about TSA? Those and more questions coming back. Any comments or questions, give us a call, 260-1870-WFBL. All right, what we're finding out is the big Homeland Security dust-up of not providing financing for them when it runs out this Friday. Which is the media has been fixated on because I guess Ebola is not going to kill us tomorrow. Is really a dust up over President Obama making a decision on immigration due to presidential power, which Congress says you don't have. And this is a leverage instrument to get into that fight and force a conclusion there. We have an expert with us, of course, to better explain all this, Matt Mayer with COO Liberty Foundation. Matt, one of the questions I had before we went to break was, let's say Homeland Security shuts down. 85% of the people still go to work. They don't get paid right away. But we all know it won't last long, and they do get paid their back pay once they're funded again. But in the meantime, Border Patrol, FEMA, Secret Service, TSA, don't we have a ton of other agencies that, let's say, a mall was attacked by terrorists that could respond?
Well, yes. I mean, the question is, are we going to fundamentally be put at higher risk if somehow the funding collapses? And the answer is no. You know, DHS, frankly, has such a little role in any of the preventive side of terrorism or the response side. On the prevention side, most of that work really comes out of the FBI, the National Security Agency, and other entities that are really far deeper into the intel pipelines, and then your state and local law enforcement. On the response side, same concept applies. It's really going to be your FBI and your local law enforcement that would respond to any type of event. And so none of those things are going to be impacted by a funding issue.
Tell me if this is right. I was talking to a couple of state officials last night off the record, asking them if this affected them in any way. And they said, well, it should, because we get grants, but the current funding of Homeland Security is a stopgap measure. It's not full funding. So we haven't been getting the grant money that we were promised in the meantime. Are you aware of that? Anything to that?
You know, I'm not sure that's accurate, because what has occurred is DHS has kind of, just like, they've never passed a budget in Harry Reid's control of the Senate over the last several years, but they continue to pass essentially funding that's based upon the previous year, which includes grant funds. And so the grant money has been going out each year. It just hasn't increased. They may not be getting any because DHS is always tweaking with the formula to determine who gets what grants in terms of the terrorism grants. But the grants have been going out over the last several years.
I want to go into something a little bit different. A long article. Back February 17th, the headline says the Department of Homeland Security is a total disaster. It's time to abolish it. This is from the Vox website. And it says the nonchalance between both parties are treating this prospect of Homeland Security being shut down raises the question, why does the department even exist? The answer is that it shouldn't. And never should have. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I think that George W. Bush was right before he was wrong. And what I mean by that is, if you recall back in 2002 and 2003, he opposed the creation of the new department, but really it got forced upon him through the Congress. And kind of as part of a deal, he agreed and relented to then create the new department and cobble together all of these components from other places into this new entity. And so I think, you know, 10 years on now, looking back, the department is a mess. Its successes have nothing to do with the creation of the department, but just the continued work of the entities that are part of the department. And frankly, when I worked at the department in the secretary's office, one of the lessons I learned was, because there are so many entities within the department, there is always a crisis going on somewhere that frankly drains the leadership's ability to do what it should do. And I think that if we were smart, we would simply unwind the creation of the department and put TSA back in the Department of Transportation where it would more naturally fit. Put the Coast Guard in some type of the Homeland Defense role over at the Pentagon. Put, you know, Customs and Border Patrol and ICE back, you know, with the FBI, which is kind of where your law enforcement nexus in hub is. Put Citizenship and Immigration Services over in the State Department where the rest of the visa stuff happens anyway. And then after that, you're like, you know, make FEMA an independent agency as it was before the department, and make Secret Service an independent agency as it was before the department. And so, to me, I don't think we've gained any benefit from the bureaucracy that's been created as part of the department. And in fact, you could argue we've actually harmed the execution of those entities because of bureaucracy on top of them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I remember, I think it was a 9/11 commission report. That's what the DHS came out of. And basically, they set it up because of a failure to share counterterrorism intelligence between the agencies. And last night I pulled out a 2011 Cato Institute report, and they said two primary agencies singled out in that 9/11 report were the FBI and CIA, neither of which was moved to DHS. So now counterterrorism work being done by agencies in three different departments, most of which don't communicate much, virtually what you just said, right?
Well, and importantly, if you recall, the reason why one of the failures of 9/11 was that in 1995, Jamie Gorelick, a Clinton appointee, wrote a memo that essentially said we are not going to share intelligence with investigation and vice versa. And she put a wall between the investigation work of the FBI in terms of casework from the traditional intel going on at the FBI and elsewhere. And because of that, both sides had component elements of the 9/11 attack, but didn't piece them together in a way that made sense that allowed us to stop it. So that memo got revoked and rescinded. The problem with the creation of the department is, in some ways, we seem to have de facto created that wall again, which is you have the FBI that does the case management and has its intel component. And now you have this element at Homeland Security that does intel as well. And the two don't get along. They don't do a good job of sharing the information. And because they both have connections into state and local law enforcement, there is a battle between what we call the JTTFs, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which are these entities at the local level that bring together all the local players to investigate potential terrorism issues.
Those are the fusion centers,
No,
right?
That's different. That's part of the problem. The JTTF is an FBI-controlled entity.
Wow.
The DHS then has created these things called fusion centers, which are their attempt to kind of get in on the game and have intel components at the state and local level. Those two entities, the fusion centers and the JTTF, again, fusion center, intel, JTTF, investigation, they do not work well together in most situations. And so the fear I have is that we're going to once again have an attack occur that when the investigation happens and we look back, we're going to say, oh, what do you know? We had elements over here and we had elements over there. And if the two had been connected, would have had a chance at preventing it in the first place.
Incredible.
So, yeah, it is incredible, frankly. And I've argued for scaling down the fusion centers and merging them into the FBI because, you know, the FBI isn't perfect. It has a lot of cultural issues that we have to overcome in terms of sharing information with state and local law enforcement. However, it's the best tool we've got. Creating a redundant entity that's weaker and fragmented alongside it isn't, to me, a successful recipe for preventing terrorism. We need to kind of fix and reform the FBI, but give it the power and the tools so that all the information is housed into these JTTS, frankly.
Matt, we got a break for news, and I understand I can keep you a little bit longer. And when I come back, I think to most people, this is very surprising that I find a long PDF-type report that says Homeland Security ought to be done away with, and certainly nothing you're saying repudiates that. In fact, adds some ammunition for it. When I come back, I want to ask congressmen, senators, they have families that are threatened by lack of security. How can they allow this to keep going on? Coming right back, WWL. All right, welcome back. We're thinking ostensibly about Department of Homeland Security and the lack of funding, if Congress allows it to go past its funding date, which is this Friday. But I think we're kind of stumbling on a much bigger issue. I think one of the better news websites these days, called Vox, V-O-X, had an article a couple of days ago that said the Department of Homeland Security is a total disaster and it's a time to abolish it. And we have a guest, Matt Mayer, COO Liberty Foundation. I think, Matt, from what I've heard, you give me a lot of reason to agree with that headline. Money-wise, aren't we wasting billions on Homeland Security? And couldn't we save money by putting it back in the box with the agencies that do it the right way? Matt, did we lose you?
I think we could save money, and which is important. I don't know how much it would be, but I think it's more important that we would potentially increase the odds that we prevent a terrorist attack from occurring in the United States, that we do a more effective job on the border and going through this process of immigration visas and overstaying their visas. Because remember, roughly 50% of the illegal immigrant population in the U.S. are visa overstayers. The folks who did not come across the border, they simply had a visa to come here legally. They did, and then they never left. I think it would give FEMA, with a direct report into the presidency as well as Secret Service, more accountability and not so much bureaucracy on top of it. So I think it could improve the functionality of the federal government, which would be a remarkable thing since, you know, it tends not to work very well. I think we've made it work worse by creating this kind of bureaucracy on top of it. So I actually wouldn't focus on the savings financially as much as on the performance of the organizational elements that could be improved by getting rid of the bureaucracy.
That kind of leads in something I discovered last night when I was doing a little homework. This was an interview with a former Secret Service agent, even identified himself, Dan Emmett. And he did an interview after repeated security breaches in the fall of 2014. And what he says, what he tells is, what he talks about are the problems with the agency's culture. And get this, the culprit he identified, the move from the Department of Treasury to Department of Homeland Security. After that move, he said, the agency got politicized. Secret Service leadership, I had to read this two or three times. Secret Service leadership stopped telling White House staff when the president was doing something dangerous, even if it was a bad or unsafe idea. If it's that kind of culture war going on, how in goodness name can Congress turn a blind eye to this?
Well, you know, boy, I don't want to second guess somebody who's been inside the Secret Service. I can tell you when Ralph Basham was the commissioner, and Ralph was a longtime guy there, things worked well. So I'm not sure what they've experienced over the last, I guess let's call it 8 years or so. But, you know, you had raised the question before the break on Congress and why doesn't Congress do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. Here's why. Politics, shockingly, and not Republican versus Democrat. This is do you realize the Department of Homeland Security, at last check, I think, had 131 different committees it had to report to. And what that means is virtually every member of Congress sits on a committee or a subcommittee that gives it power over the department. And no entity in Congress wants to give up that power. And so when you think about consolidating congressional committees, that doesn't happen because nobody wants to give up their turf and their say in the department. On the other side of it, you know, DHS has done a very good job of making sure that it sends press releases or gives members of Congress opportunities to send press releases into their district, whether it's FEMA aid that comes in or it's a Homeland Security grant that gets put out, where they can say, oh, see, I'm Congressman so-and-so from the 10th District of Ohio. Look what I brought home from Washington for you people, constituents, vote for me, kind of thing. Those two components create an enormous amount of inertia to essentially reform the system because they don't want to give up power on the committee side of the fence, and they love being able to send out press releases about what they've done to bring essentially pork back into their district.
Here's exactly what you're talking about. DHS has had to deal with so much congressional oversight that it's become unproductive. As of fall 2014, more than 90 congressional committee subcommittees had some sort of oversight responsibility. Compare that with the Department of Defense. They've got 30 committees. But I go back to, you visualize the Twin Towers coming down. You look at the daily stories, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Putin. For the life of me, I understand politics a little bit. I understand family and friends a little bit more. And if our very existence might be threatened, how can politics be the answer for us not to act on the threat?
Because it's the hubris of the potential going up against the politics of the today.
Oh, I ought to put that in a frame and put it over my desk.
That's the best
answer I've heard.
It's true. That's what happens.
Yes.
It's the here and now, and we really have this hubris that, oh, you know, it's not we're not really going to get attacked. They're not going to be able to do that again until they do, and then we'll do the navel gazing and the head scratching. But the fact of the matter is, the politics of today is always going to be the potential of tomorrow.
Matt, I always have people. Well, not always. I have some people that say, "Why don't you just pick a topic and yak about it, invite people to call in." Always say, no, I like to get the experts on because I learned something, and this time I learned a lot. I appreciate the time very much. Hopefully we'll talk again.
I'd love to come on anytime. You know that. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're coming right back. What do you say? We're going to open up the lines, 260-1870. Have you heard that anywhere? I hadn't. Homeland Security is a disaster and ought to be abolished. We got all these other agencies that do the same thing, and they're mad at DHS, and DHS is mad at them because they're impinging on their turf. That's the same thing that was given as the reason for 9/11. What do you make of this? 260-1870. Well, most of the news media is covering DHS, Department of Homeland Security, the big fight in Congress over funding them. Their funding runs out on Friday, but the study that I stumble over says, hell, they're such a bad agency, they ought to be done away with. And we just talked to an expert who said the same exact thing. Let's see what Jay thinks and slide out. Jay, I appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you, Garland. I just think it's yet another example of how broken a lot of our federal government is. And with the record deficits and debt and unfunded liability, we can ill afford to waste money and risk our safety at the same time. And the most alarming thing of that to me was when the expert said that the politicization of the Secret Service had allowed them to, or had caused them to basically put the president's life in jeopardy, it sounded like.
Whether that's
George Bush or Obama, that would be one of the worst things that could happen for our country, is to have a president assassinated. Whether you agree with your politics or whatever, that would really change the face of America right now.
That was the part of the report that I read. And for anybody who wants to go take a look at it, it's Vox. It's a new website run by some highly competent young people. And it says the Department of Homeland Security is a total disaster. It's time to abolish it. If you miss what Jay's talking about, they talk about security breaches 2014 in an interview they did with a Secret Service agent who is named, so you know it must be true. He had been prosecuted if it was not true. And he basically says there's so much animosity between DHS and Treasury and all the other departments with similar needs that the protection of the President of the United States has been backed off. What does he say exactly? He says the agency got politicized and Secret Service leadership stopped telling White House staff when letting the president do something was a bad or unsafe idea. Anybody remember the drone on the White House lawn? Anybody remember the guy that jumped the fence and made it into the White House? And he was only stopped because a policeman in plain clothes was walking by? Anybody remember the bullet hole in one of the windows in the White House? I mean, it's just, to me, this is stunning stuff. Herm and Homa, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I think it's just another example, as Jay was saying, how broken the government is and how big the government's got. And it's so big that it can't even be controlled anymore. And I'm not all for consolidating power, but I'm also not for having a government that is so big it can't even control itself anymore.
I'm with you there, Herm, no doubt about it. But you know what's interesting? Both Republicans and Democrats sit on these committees, and if a radio talk show knows this, if a media site knows this, if the head of the Liberty Foundation knows this, they know this, and they're choosing politics over our security and our money. It's either a massive waste of funds or it puts us in danger or both. And to them, what seems to be the most important thing is the politics. Don't get that one. WWL. If you miss this hour, you ought to Google it and read on your own. Big debate over whether or not Congress should be funding Homeland Security. We just talked to an expert, called up a couple of major news media types. That a Burton report says it shouldn't be funded, it ought to be abolished. Too much infighting, too much duplication. And we even revealed in one of the reports that a Secret Service agent said there's so many battles between Secret Service, CIA, Department of Homeland Security, TSA, that protection of the president is going wanting. Some of the stuff is just hard to believe, but I think we verified it today. Coming up next, disability social security insurance. Big, big deficit, getting ready to go insolvent next year. Let's talk about that.